Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, there's nothing more American than a rodeo. Grizzled cowboys bouncing around on mad cows for no apparent reason. It's white and conservative and Republican, but for decades, there's been a parallel competition, the gay rodeo. Luke Guilford is a photographer who's created a book charting the life of this competition and the characters who take part in it. It's called National Anthem, and Luke joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Luke.
Good afternoon. How are you?
So when did the first gay rodeo start? Where did it originate?
It actually originated in the 1970s in Reno, Nevada. It started as a fundraiser, and it was so wildly popular that it grew and grew. And now it's actually a monthly event from February to November of each year. So there's only a few months off in the winter. All throughout the Southwest. So Nevada, of course, but Arizona, California, Texas, Utah, New Mexico, several other states, Arkansas even. It goes into the South and Southwest. Oh. Now Canada is involved, Hawaii. It's growing and growing. And it kind of suffered in the late 1980s because of the AIDS crisis. And it still has, you know, even because of now apps and things like that for people to connect in different ways in rural communities. It's, you know, the community has changed, but it's still... it's a very important resource for queer people in rural communities, especially in America, to connect with one another, to get vital health access and information, and to support each other through friendship, through sportsmanship, and this kind of very traditional American tradition of the rodeo.
Mm. And the cowboys who take part in it, are they real cowboys in the sense, or do they have kind of day jobs that might have nothing to do with the rodeo?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by real cowboys.
Well, I mean, one has the impression that in, if you like, the straight rodeo, a lot of these people work on farms and the like.
That's the case in this community too.
Yeah.
Most of the folks in the queer rodeo have ranches with animals. One major difference between the mainstream rodeo and the queer rodeo is the attitude towards animals, actually. A lot of the folks in the queer rodeo actually save animals from slaughter. There's a lot more empathy towards animals in the queer rodeo. It's also much more inclusive. So you'll find a lot of folks in the queer rodeo who are actually allies. They don't necessarily identify on the LGBTQIA spectrum, but they're allies, and they happen to be people of color, Latino or Black or Asian, and they just aren't welcome necessarily in the mainstream rodeo circuit because it's also very racist. So it's very inclusive and intersectional. There's all kinds of folks that or anywhere on the spectrum in terms of sexuality, gender expression, sexual identity. And they are welcome there, and they really embrace each other as family. You'll meet a lot of different people involved in it that, you know, they actually live together on ranches as chosen families. So it is, and then there are some people that it's a hobby and they work as a hairdresser or something as well, but they also, you know, have horses or compete in the rodeo as well. So there's all kinds of different folks involved.
So there's no intersection between this and the mainstream rodeo. So from this distance, one has the impression that the mainstream rodeo would be very conservative, very white, very Trump voting. So are these kind of like two forms of the same sport, but completely different from each other, other than the fact that they both involve rodeo?
Exactly. And one thing that I find very fascinating about it, actually, is that they happen in the same arenas. So the arenas that are built for the rodeo have not necessarily been built for or by queer people, but they are borrowed for a weekend. And I think that it's so subversive and empowering that these spaces are not necessarily for queer people, but you know, we have found a way to borrow these spaces for a weekend and make them queer spaces. And they're spaces that, you know, a lot of people had experience going to and not feeling safe in the rodeo world, and they couldn't be themselves. And now suddenly they can celebrate their queerness and be together and feel safe. And so that is an overlap, is that the arenas are the same, but the crowd is very different.
Yes. And well, then the owners of these arenas and whatever the mainstream rodeo association is, do they have any problem with that?
I haven't witnessed any of that. I know that there has, you know, sometimes been some issues, but it's a very word of mouth thing. You don't see it like advertised everywhere in these towns or anything. It's sort of like, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, like if you're in the mainstream rodeo and you don't hear about a rodeo happening that weekend, then you don't go. And there happens to be a queer one there. So I think that, you know, there have been some issues. We do hear a lot of stories like the Matthew Shepard stories in popular culture. But one thing that I think is very inspiring about this community too is that, well, in rural communities, it's sort of like, if you're a good person, then you are embraced as family. And a lot, you know, the people in these communities are great people. And so, you know, yes, you do hear horrible stories every now and then, but these are great, great folks, and their communities protect them for by and large.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty positive thing. From what I understand, though, the queer rodeo sounds a bit more fun than the normal rodeo. For instance, like the names people have are fantastic.
Yes, it's definitely much more fun. There's also special events that happen that are unique to the queer rodeo, like the different camp events, the drag queens that come, that are very kind of country drag queens inspired by Dolly Parton, for example. And it's funny because my father was a professional in the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association. So I grew up going to rodeos with him. He was a roper, and you know, with that, all my earliest memories are at rodeos. So I remember the sequins and the big hair and the lipstick and all those, you know, the big boobs and stuff as a child. And it's funny because all those same things happen in the mainstream rodeo as well as the queer rodeo. But in the queer rodeo, it's on actual drag queens instead of cis women.
Where it actually belongs, really. And actually, is it interesting, like in gay iconography, the figure of the cowboy, how far back does that go? Does anyone know?
That's a great question. It is, you know, there is a very iconic kind of symbol of the American cowboy, both in heterosexual as well as homosexual culture. I haven't traced it, but I do. One thing that I really love about this world is that it isn't a fantasy in the way that it has been so much, you know, like the village people, or
yeah,
you know, the different photographers and painters that do the fantasy of the gay cowboy. That's a form of drag, or that's a costume, but this is an authentic way of life. And I started this project around like when Trump was being elected and our country was feeling increasingly polarized. And, you know, divided between conservative and liberal and coastal versus middle America, and all these different tribal dichotomies were becoming increasingly divided. And it has really felt more and more important for Americans to come together and to embrace both ends of the spectrum, and to, you know, for this intersection to be happening. And so I think it's really beautiful to see people who are real rural folks who are coming together and celebrating this American tradition and accepting one another and living peacefully together.
Hence the name of the book, which is National Anthem. It will be available from October the 1st. Luke Guilford, a photographer, is the creator of that book. Luke, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me.
Moncrief on News Talk.